I'm going to ask Brian Choi to come and join me at the front here, please. If you've been sort of keeping track of events in the life of the church, you will know that Brian is going to Poland for 2 weeks of ministry as one of our representatives. And we want to just recognize that and pray for him today. When are you leaving?
July 18th.
Great. That's this week, right?
Yes.
What day do you know?
I think it's Thursday.
You think it's Thursday? Okay. Do you know which flight you're on? Anyways, we're happy that you're going, and this is your second time to go.
Yes.
And it's been our privilege to be able to support him financially and also with our prayers. As you go, any specific things that we can be praying for you about?
Yes. Please pray for my health. And just pray for that my family won't worry about me too much. I can't really stop them from worrying about me.
Okay.
Yeah, just health and my family.
Okay. And we will add a few of our own prayers to that. Thank you for sharing those concerns with
Thank
us.
You.
So I'm going to pray for Brian now, and you can pray along with me in your own way, all right? Father God, I do thank you for Brian. I'm very thankful that he is willing to go on this trip again this year. And we know that there's great excitement about being involved in this ministry, but there are also great challenges. And so I pray that you would grant his request that he would have good health. I pray that his family would not be gravely or greatly concerned about him. We know that you are always watching over us and you are there to guide and protect us. And so I pray that his family and that he himself would be confident of that assurance that you are with him. Lord, I pray that you would give him great joy in this ministry opportunity. I pray that you would open up the hearts of all those who are at the camp in Poland and for those who are involved in the church there as well. We pray that this would be a great time when many people are drawn close to you. I pray that you would give Brian boldness and grace as he speaks into the lives of people, as he shares his testimony with them, that you would move their hearts to give you praise. I pray that you would help him as he's involved in teaching and involved in the worship services and simply in the fun times where they're just playing around together, and just pray that you would use him to further your kingdom. We commit him to your safekeeping and ask for your blessing upon him. We pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Well, it's good to see you all here today, and we have a number of people returned from vacation, or we have guests with us, and so just thank you for taking the time to share with us today. I just prayed once, so I'm not going to pray again. You can go out to the children's ministry if you like now, all right? That's happening. My good buddy, he wants to listen to me preach to you. That's fine. Anyways, children's ministry is happening now, and Pastor Sampson is preaching up in the Mandarin service. And we're just grateful for this time to be together. So, today and for the next couple of messages, I'm going to be using John chapter 10, verse 10, sort of as the foundational verse to lead me into some further thoughts and so on. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus declares that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, or another translation says, to have it abundantly. Jesus wants us to experience a satisfying and meaningful life here in the present and eternal life sometime in the future. Now, I really like the word full that Jesus uses, or the word abundant, because it carries the meaning of that which goes beyond necessity. Or another way, maybe a little bit more awkward, but it could also be translated as super abundantly. This is the kind of life that he wants us to experience. The point that he is making in this verse is that through himself, through Jesus, we are meant to experience the superabundant or the good life. A life that is beyond our wildest imaginations or dreams. But there is Satan. Satan, who wants to destroy us, who wants to ruin our lives in the present and do all that he can to keep us from eternity. And in too many cases, I am afraid he is successful. And one of the ways in which Satan gets the upper hand in our lives is by convincing us that we are unworthy or useless or unlovable. He destroys our experience of the good life by attacking our self-esteem. Now, I'd like you to think just for a moment about the time when the Israelites spied out the land of Canaan. If you know that story, you will recall that Caleb and Joshua came back with a very positive report about how wonderful the land was. And they said that the Israelites should go into the land immediately. But the other spies came back afraid, and they gave a negative report. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, they said something which I find most interesting and actually quite disheartening. This is what they said: "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." The 10 fearful explorers had seen the Nephilim in Canaan. Now, the Nephilim were people great in size. The Israelites, generally smaller in stature, did seem physically very small when compared to the Nephilim. So technically, it was probably accurate to say that the Israelites seemed like tiny grasshoppers compared to these giant-sized men. But in reality, the negative Israelites had not a physical stature problem, but a self-esteem problem. Embedded in the comments of the 10 were feelings of inferiority and inadequacy. Now, you need to remember that the spies were very seasoned warriors, and with God's help, they had experienced many great victories. You need to remember that the spies were the children of God. But now, in this particular moment, it seems like their brains have cramped, their hearts have frozen, and they have forgotten or they have ignored God's presence and his great power that has been with them up until this moment. And for some reason, they now view themselves as nothing more than grasshoppers. This low view, this low self-esteem, nurtured despair, and an entire nation was negatively affected, with the result that the people rebelled against their leaders, Moses and Aaron, leading to many years of unnecessary wandering in the wilderness and the encountering of many additional troubles. Do you sometimes feel like a grasshopper in your own eyes? Is your favorite, or at least one of your favorite hymns, either "Alas and Did My Savior Bleed," or "At the Cross," especially where the verses say, "Alas and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die?" Would he devote a sacred head to such a worm as I? Now, don't misunderstand me. We are dreadful, we are unworthy, we are awful people in our sinfulness. Sin does lower and destroy self-esteem. But it is supposed to be a completely different matter when you are a child of God and a follower of Jesus. When you have encountered God's saving presence and his great transforming power in your life through Jesus Christ, you are no longer a worm or a grasshopper. You are so much better, and you are meant to experience the good life, the abundant life. Healthy self-esteem is meant to replace a low or a disordered self-esteem. Now, if you struggle with low self-esteem, let me encourage you today to a better, more appropriate view of yourself. I would like you to turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. In Romans chapter 12, we are exhorted to live for God and have a proper view of ourselves. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Now, there are three basic building blocks for self-esteem. One building block is the sense of belonging. Do I feel secure? Do others love, accept, and support me? A second building block is the sense of worth. Am I a valuable person? Am I cherished and respected? The third building block of self-esteem is a sense of competence. Am I a capable person? Can I do anything useful? Now, when you answer yes to these questions, your self-esteem grows and become stronger and healthier, and you enjoy more and more the abundant or the good life. But if you answer no to these questions, your self-esteem plummets, and you experience feelings of inferiority or inadequacy, and the abundant life seems out of reach. You don't feel like you belong. You don't feel you're valuable. You don't think you are a capable person. You have a low view of yourself. You don't think you can succeed at anything of importance. Let me describe for you briefly what a person with low self-esteem does or feels and see if you relate to any of these. A person with low self-esteem will withdraw from others or operate with others only from a distance. He will be afraid to try new things and risk failure. He doesn't easily engage in new activities or explore novel activities. A person with low self-esteem will not volunteer her efforts or her ideas. She'll prefer to take a back seat. She lacks confidence in her own perceptions, her own judgments, her own decisions. She sets herself up for failure by setting unrealistically high or low goals versus setting realistic goals in light of her own abilities. A person with low self-esteem doubts his own abilities and becomes disappointed with first effort results. Such a person prefers to depend on others and is frequently irresponsible. A person with low self-esteem feels alone or isolated, unwanted or unloved. He has few friends and finds it difficult to love others. He is unduly shy and avoids others, especially strangers. A person with low self-esteem hides behind a facade to cover his feelings of inadequacy. Now, such a person can be self-deprecating, can play the dummy or the joker, can be the clown in the group, but that kind of outgoing behavior is simply a mask hiding feelings of inferiority. On the flip side, a person with self-esteem, rather than putting on a clown mask, can actually put on a rather frightening mask and can display aggression. Such a person becomes aggressive by complaining about others, by criticizing and blaming others. He's extremely sensitive and defensive when receiving the criticism of others. He's suspicious rather than trustful of others. Now, to experience low self-esteem, to have this view of yourself and to carry these feelings and to relate to others with such behaviors, this is a terrible and a heavy and an unnecessary burden for anyone, and especially for Christians. To struggle with or to give in to anxiety and nervousness or tension, fear, guilt, anger, discouragement, or feelings of unworthiness is a terrible and a heavy and an unnecessary burden. Why? Because as a child of God and a follower of Jesus, you have been given the good life that is designed to be eternally abundant, satisfying, and full. Now, every day, we are being bombarded with negative messages. And maybe for too long, you have listened to Satan's message suggesting that you are only a mere worm or grasshopper. It's time to start listening to God's message, to think soberly, to think correctly, to understand what His view of you is. A few weeks ago, one of my daughters-in-law shared a saying with me that she was going to embroider onto a wall hanging for one of my granddaughters. And this is the saying. Remember, you are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, smarter than you think, and loved more than you know. No truer words could be spoken to anyone, but especially to Christians. You are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, smarter than you think, and loved more than you know. Now, in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, we are exhorted to think soberly or correctly about ourselves. I believe that this means that we are to think about ourselves the way God thinks about us. And to think any other way is to fall into the trap of Satan. It is a trap to compare ourselves to others instead of comparing ourselves to God's view of us. It is a trap to measure ourselves based upon our outward appearances when God looks on the heart. It is a trap to base our sense of personal value on family of origin or occupation or education or ethnicity or wealth or any other number of societal standards. It is a trap to judge ourselves based upon our past mistakes or failures. It is a trap to waste our God-given talents and gifts by being inactive or being satisfied with mediocrity. It is a trap to conclude or to feel that we have nothing to offer in relationship with other people. It is a trap to believe that we are unworthy, that we are useless, or we are unlovable when Jesus gives us true life that is designed to be abundant and full. So today, it is time for maybe some of you to escape the trap and the lies of Satan and build a healthier self-esteem and again experience the good life, the abundant life, the full and the satisfying life that God has called you into. You are not a worm or a grasshopper. You are, as a Christian, redeemed, and you are invaluable. Now, to once again think positively or soberly or correctly about yourself, as we are exhorted in Romans 12, verse 3, I'm going to offer three suggestions for you to consider, based upon the three basic building blocks of self-esteem: belonging, worth, and competence. The first suggestion is this: you belong, so edit your theology. You belong, so edit your theology. It does not matter what your parents think of you, or your boss, or your friends, or your enemies. Now, what they think of you may encourage or it may hurt you, but it really doesn't matter. What really matters is what God thinks of you. You need to edit your theology. and discover a sense of belonging. Now think about these truths. God created you in His image, and He gave you dominion over the earth. In Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27, we read, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." God created you in His image. God also made you the culmination of creation. In Psalm 8, verses 4 and 5, we read, "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor." Not only that, Christ died for you, and you now belong to Him. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, we read, "Christ died for our sins." And in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, it says, "You were bought with a price." Christ bought you, and you belong to Him. Also, God appointed angels to watch over you. Psalm 19, verse 11, we read, "For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." As a creation of God, you are unique and you are special and you are invaluable. As a creation of God, you are very special because you are an original. He made you specifically the way you are. Geneticists have determined that the odds of your parents having another child that is just like you are 1 in 10 to the 2 trillionth power. Now, what that basically means is, those odds means that you will never be duplicated. Only you are you. God created you. And God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit loves you. And Jesus died for you. And Jesus redeemed you. And Jesus secured your eternal destiny. You belong to Him. And He holds out to you the full and abundant and good life. Edit your theology and think correctly about yourself. Think about yourself the way that God thinks about you. Strengthen your sense of belonging, your self-esteem, by knowing that you are loved and you belong. The next suggestion is this: you have worth, so express your appreciation. I want you to turn to Psalm 139. Knowing who you are should lead to wonder or awe and gratitude or thanks. You have worth, and so you should be expressing your appreciation. Psalm 139, starting at the very beginning. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Every morning when you rise and every evening when you retire, you should be thanking God. You should be praising God for creating you and for loving you and for always being with you and for always watching over you. Your whole attitude about yourself and about life will start to change as you thank God, as you praise God for who you are. Created by Him, loved by Him, and redeemed by Him through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Express your praise, express your appreciation daily, often, and you will gain a growing sense of worth. Not self-generated and prideful worth, but a humble worth that has been instilled through Jesus Christ. Express your appreciation. My third suggestion is this. You are competent. So express or explore your potential. You are competent. Explore your potential. It's become a rather common saying because of what some author has said in a very popular book, but it's true nonetheless. God has a plan for your life. He really does. He wants to use you, not just some of you, every single one of you who are children of God. He wants to use you. He wants you to work for Him. Every Christian is competent because God has given him or her unique abilities and spiritual gifts. No one in God's kingdom or God's economy is a loser or a liability. God has filled you with potential. You are invaluable as a person, and you are invaluable in service to Him. Now let's quickly look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to start reading from verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one, just as He determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of you. God has a plan for your life. And He expects you to serve Him using whatever spiritual gift and whatever unique abilities He has given to you. He has entrusted you with these abilities and these talents and these spiritual gifts. And so you need to explore your potential. And if you're not yet, then you need to start serving God. And as you are serving Him, you will experience in increasing measure the sense of competence. Your self-esteem will grow, and your life will become more abundantly satisfying. As a follower of Jesus, as a Christian, you are invaluable. You belong, you have worth, and you are competent. As a Christian, this is God's view. This is the correct view that you are to have of yourself. You belong, you have worth, you are competent. You need to stop believing the lies that say you don't belong, or that you are not worthwhile, or that you are not competent. On the contrary, you are invaluable. You are braver than you believe. You are stronger than you seem. You are smarter than you think, and you are loved more than you know. Make sure that you are thinking correctly about yourself. Let's pray. Father God, by your Spirit, speak to each one of us, and especially to anyone who is not thinking correctly about himself or herself. Help us to understand who we are in your eyes, so that we might, maybe for the very first time, or maybe so that we might once again enter into that experience of the good life, knowing that we belong to you, that because of your work in our life, we have worth, and that we are competent because by your Spirit you have graced us with unique talents and special spiritual gifts. And may we love you, and may we praise you, and may we serve you with our whole being. I pray for these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.